But I just love to worship the Lord. You know, when you're singing worship and praise, you know, that's our ministry to Him. That's not what He's giving us. This is our ministry to Him. And you can never outgive God. So if you ever are in need of something, you know, just get your eyes off of your need and just bless the Lord and focus on Him. Amen. Before I get into my message, I want to just share some things I have in the back. I have a friend with me, Michelle. Stand up. She attends the same church that I attend, and she's up here to help me today, and she'll be back at the table in the back. And I never like to call it a product table, because like I've said so many times, when a carpenter builds a house, he has to use tools. And we have to build our faith every day, so we need to have tools. So it's a tool table back there. And I know a lot of you probably already have my tools, but you know, you need to give them to other people. You need to share them with other people. And I thought I had my little healing book here. Oh yeah, here it is. You know, this little book, Instructions from the Great Physician. You know, I know many of you probably pray for people that are sick. Don't ever pray for them and not leave them a tool. You've got to leave them something that they can take what you said and feed on it, you know. And this little book went number one on Amazon in two categories. First, the faith category. But the second category of people that bought the book were New Age. New Age people. I thought, wow, praise the Lord. New Age took me to number one. So that's pretty good. But one thing about God's Word, and I've said it so many times as well, it is medicine. God's Word is medicine. It isn't kind of like it. It isn't sort of like it. It is medicine. One thing about God's medicine, no negative side effects. You can't beat that. And you can't overdose. There's no way you could overdose. And I have something new. This book is now available on a CD. And I also have it available on a thumb drive. So you can have it in your car. But, you know, sometimes people are just too sick to read so they could actually listen to it. Because faith comes by hearing. Because sometimes if you've got a high fever or something, you just can't focus on reading. But this is such an important tool, so I made it available on a CD or the thumb drive. So Michelle will be back there to help you with that. I don't think I had this here last time. It's a new card. It's called a battle card. Because the battle is the whose?
Lord.
It's the Lord's. It's not our battle. So this is what it says. The battle is the Lord's, according to 2 Chronicles. And it says, therefore, Lord, you deliver me from the snare of the fowler. You deliver me from unreasonable attacks. You break down the wall of separation. You laugh at the plots of the wicked. You give me wisdom and knowledge. You enlighten my understanding. You make a way in the wilderness. You make the crooked places straight. You multiply my seed. You rebuke the devourer. You give me angelic assistance. This just goes on and on what all God does. And then it says, and you heal my body. You fight my battles. Therefore, this is now my part, I enter into your courts with thanksgiving and into your gates with thanksgiving and into your courts with praise. That's my part. Yes. So on the back of the card, there's praise. You can just praise Him right then and there. Amen. It's perfect in your Bible. So this is the battle card. Everybody needs a battle card to know that the battle is the Lord's. Amen. This, again, is a very powerful little packet of... How many of you take power bars? Amen. Power bars every... I like power bars. My brother... bought me a whole box of power bars just recently. I guess he thought I needed more power. I don't know. But he can't keep up with me. But this is filled with healing scriptures. But there's also a little prayer on the back. I want to tell you how this works. Let's just say, for example, maybe you have problems with, we'll say diabetes or whatever it could be. It says, and this is how the prayer goes, spirit of, and then you name that infirmity, spirit of diabetes. In the name of Jesus, I pull you down from your position of authority. I break the power of assignment you have against me, for it is written. And then you find your healing scripture that really bears witness with you, and then that's how you take the medicine. That's a daily power bar. So it's important that we take our daily power bar. Because, you know, the word, God, you know, it's a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. So you can't wait to the end of the day to light your path. Amen. And this is probably one of the worst first things I ever had, that you probably all have one. It's a laminated card to go in the bathroom shower. So that you've got scriptures first thing in the morning. And there's scriptures for health and some for wealth. And I chose those two topics because those are the two areas where the devil attacks you the most. Your health or your finances. And you know what? If he attacks one, he'll attack the other, because they go together. Who's never had one of these cards? Right here, this gentleman right there, about 1, 2, 3, fourth row back. You want to give that to him? He's got his hand up, second seat in. He probably takes a shower every day. This little book, it's the very first book I wrote. This is my copy, so you can see it. Because it's my daily delight in the Lord. So, but it talks about first developing intimacy with the Lord. And then you can also block intimacy. But it talks about how to unblock it. But we have to have that intimacy with the Father God. And then there's other scriptures in there on worship. We were doing it in our lovely B&B yesterday together. But there's one chapter on enter into his courts with praise. And I love this one because I first want to enter into his presence and thank him and praise him. But the first, it says, O Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth, for your glory is above the heavens. And then it says, I will praise you, O Lord, with all my heart. I will tell of your wonders. I will be glad and I will rejoice in you. I will sing praise to your name. And like I was telling Michelle yesterday, when I do this, I do what it says I do. Amen. I'm just not reading a book. Yes. It says, I praise you. I sing to you. I stop and I sing to the Lord. Amen. When it says, I lift up holy hands, I stop and I lift up holy hands. I'm a doer of what it says. It's not just reading something. You have to be a doer of it. And there's other scriptures in here for finances and for healing and praying for your nation and for your family. So it's a powerful, powerful little book. This one, I think I probably had this one here too. My Three Miracles, The Journey. That's what I want to emphasize on. It talks about all three of my miracles, but it talks about the journey, because most miracles aren't instant. I can remember years ago I was doing a seminar, a whole healing seminar all week long on healing for somebody, for a church in Switzerland. And this lady said to me, well, I don't want to have to remember all those scriptures. I don't want to have to do this and do that. She said, I just want poof. I said, honey, poof is not going to happen for you. She don't want to be a doer of the word. She's like, just poof. I said, well, it's not going to happen that way. There is no poof scripture in the Bible. But chapter one talks about a spirit of faith. You know, we all have been given a measure of faith. But when you feed your faith and you're building your faith, you will get to that point where you have developed what the Bible calls a spirit of faith. Now that's different. We've all got faith, but how many don't even use it? But when you get to the place where you've got a spirit of faith, you know what a spirit of faith is? This is how I like to describe it. Huh. It's an attitude, Pastor Rick. I refuse to be defeated. Huh. Amen. Cancer, amen. Go. Yes. Diabetes, go. Yes. You know, it's an attitude. Yes. Where you refuse to be defeated. But that's a spirit, yes, of faith. So then I talk about the journey, because the journey is important, because there is a price to pay. You have to have bulldog tenacity. Yes. You've got to fight, because the devil is out there to take you down. And he works at it 24/7. But he's under your feet. He's under your feet. This book is called Guidelines. I'm not sure if I had this here last time or not. Guidelines, Praying for the Sick. It's a very powerful book. And it talks about, let me find my chapters here. Because these are tools. Tools. So it first of all talks about being an ambassador for the Lord, and then it talks about having a time of preparation. Thank you, Pastor Ricky. You know, see, if you're going to go pray for somebody, say that they're even on their deathbed or whatever it could be, you can't just walk in the hospital from the golf course. There's a time of preparation. Because the Lord can reveal to you the root of the problem. It's not just going here and there and saying, oh, hallelujah, praise God, I be healed in Jesus' name. You know, you need to know what the root of the problem is. You need to know where their faith is. Because it talks about locating people's faith. You know, the Bible says little faith, weak faith, strong faith, great faith. You know, I was praying for a woman and people told me, well, she's got so much faith and we're just so encouraged that she's going to receive her healing. But I knew this woman and I knew the church that she went to. And it was a church that really didn't believe that God wanted everybody healed. And I knew this what she was taught. But her friends would say, oh, she's just got so much faith. So when I was able to go and visit her, she was already on hospice. But I wanted to go alone because I knew if I could go alone, I could have no interruptions to listen to what she says. See, it's not what I have to say. I want to hear what she's going to say. And I realized they were right. She was strong in faith, but not for healing. She was strong in faith. If she wasn't healed, she's going to go to heaven. Aren't you fully persuaded you're going to go to heaven? That's what they saw. But I saw she was hoping to get healed. So you have to learn to locate where people are so you can take them to the next level. Amen. Now, she was just too far that she just could not shift over. But I can remember one time when I was in Indonesia, I was actually at Banda Aceh after the tsunami. And there, we had a church service, and maybe about 250 Muslims came to the service, and they weren't practicing the Muslim faith. So to them, they just assumed they're Christians. But I knew they weren't born again, but I knew I couldn't say, well, you're not a Christian. They'd have walked out on me. So I said, I am so happy to hear that all of you are Christians. And now that you're a Christian, I want to tell you how you can have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. Amen. They thought, well, is that not great or what? You know, they all got saved, but I had to meet them on that level and then take them to the next. When you're praying for the sick, you need to know what level are they on, because they're probably not on your level, but they might be. But, you know, it's such a powerful book. It talks about knowing the will and the ways of God. The more confident you are in understanding God's will and his ways, the more bold and confident you are in praying for somebody, and they're going to pick that up. And they're going to really grab hold. So we have to do our part. Amen. And what an honor, what a blessing. But I'm going to be doing a mastermind group on this book. And I have a sign-up sheet there in the back. If you want to leave me your email, I can send you information if you want to be a part of the mastermind group. I'm probably only going to let not more than 13 people at the most to be a part of that group. But it would be for, I think, 7 weeks, and there will be time of Q&A. But I'm going to really be sharing a lot about what I've experienced, and we're going to go through the book and lots of questions, but it's a powerful book that can help you. If you want to be a part of the mastermind group, you can sign up on the, there's a sheet in the back. And also if you want to be in partnership with the ministry. But Michelle, can I just hand this all to you? And thank you. Hallelujah. Lord, we thank you so much for your word. We thank you, Lord, that your word never returns void. We praise you. We honor you. We thank you for the precious Holy Spirit who is our teacher and our guide. And Lord, as we look into your word today, I pray that you would help us to see what perhaps we didn't see the time before. Help us to hear what we missed the time before. We purpose to open our hearts to all that you have for us this day. We thank you for the anointing, and Lord, we truly give you all the praise and all the glory in Jesus' name. Amen. Before I came to church this morning, I stopped over at Legacy because I knew that Joyce Haynes was there, and I have been in contact with Joyce for several weeks. Well, we've been friends for many years, but I've been, you know, praying for her on the phone and everything. Driving over, I said to Michelle, you know, I need to stop at the Legacy on the way to church. And And I wanted to give her the healing book because I know she's got it, but she probably didn't have it with her, and my daily delight. And so I thought, let's just pray for her this morning. Can we do that? As we just, the first thing I want to do, I just want us to pray for Joyce. And I have, do we have any oil here? An anointing oil that we can, in case we want to give that to her. She's such a precious, precious person. Actually, I think it was, I guess it was before COVID, she came down to Oceanside to see me. Took her out to lunch at the harbor. So it was a delight. But it's very biblical to lay hands on a cloth and anoint it with oil. And it's the same healing anointing that goes into this cloth that when we give it to someone and they put it on their bodies, that healing anointing is transferred. It's like a point of contact. Amen. It's a point of contact. So, Lord, we just thank you right now. Let's all just lift up our hands towards this cloth. And, Lord, we just thank you. Thank you that Joyce belongs to you. She is your child. And we just put a demand on the word that says, by the stripes of Jesus, Joyce is healed. She's whole. She is strengthened in might by your spirit in the inner man. She will not get weary in the fight, but that she will fight that good fight of faith, that she'll not weaken, she'll not get discouraged. And so as we pray together, I release the healing oil to flow into this cloth that will be transferred into her body, into every organ, every tissue, every cell in her body, the bones, the blood, the marrow, every part, bringing about a complete healing and a cure for your daughter, Joyce. And we all come into agreement and we thank you for it, Father, as we apply the blood of Jesus over Joyce, over her mind, her emotions, her thoughts, her hunger, desire to live and to not die and to run her race and to finish her course. And we give you all the praise and all the glory in Jesus' name. Amen, amen, amen. Hallelujah. So give that to you. Hallelujah. Oh, but we're all okay. Now we're really anointed up here. It's kind of on the pulpit. Hallelujah. We're flowing. Do you want me to tell you something funny? I was preaching in Ireland couple years ago. It's a new church I'd ever been to. I had been there before. As it was a big church. And before I went out to minister, the pastor said to me, he says, "Sister, you've got free rein." And he said, "Just let it rip." So I was up there preaching and I had given an illustration and I had used some people to help me with this illustration. And some of the guys that were helping me, one of them just started laughing. Then they all started laughing. And all of a sudden, it was just a Holy Ghost laughter that hit the church. And I couldn't stop laughing. And I tried my best to stop laughing. And you know, I just couldn't. And I mean, I was laughing so hard. And I turned to the pastor. I said, "Well, we're letting it rip now." I couldn't believe I said that. "We're letting it rip." Isn't it fun to be real and just have fun in church? I don't know if we're going to rip today, but but I'd like you to turn to Deuteronomy 29. It says, "The secret things belong to the Lord. And what he reveals belongs to us." It is God's prerogative to have secrets. That's his prerogative. It's also his prerogative if he wants to share something with us. And then if you look at Psalms 91, in Psalms 91 it says, "He who dwells in the secret place." So see, God has secrets. Do you know what a secret is? A secret is information that has been withheld from the knowledge of others. But what he wants to reveal to you, that's between you and him, most generally. It could be something that he wants you to share. But, you know, secrets, you know, have you ever told somebody a secret? I said, that's just a secret, just between me and you. God has secrets.
Yes, ma'am.
And I have found in my life, anyway, that when he wants to reveal a secret to me, it happens when I'm in the secret place.
Amen.
Secrets are revealed in the secret place. So we want to take time to spend time in the secret place.
Amen.
It's a place of intimacy.
Yes, ma'am.
Intimacy with Father God.
Yes.
I want to read to you out of Philippians chapter 3. I'm going to read it out of the Amplified. But this is the Apostle Paul, and whom God had used to write over two-thirds of the New Testament. I'd have to say he knew God. Would you not say he knew God? But then it says here, this is Paul speaking about himself. He says, my determined purpose is that I might know him. Paul says, I want to know him, that I may progressively become more deeply and intimately acquainted with him. That key word there is progressive. See, intimacy is something that is cultivated. It's a cultivated response. You don't just go to a kindergarten on Monday and graduate from the university on Tuesday. There's a process there. You have to cultivate. It's a you develop. Well, we have to cultivate that place of intimacy with the Lord. And then he says, to progressively become more deeply and intimately acquainted with him. Oh, that would be our testimony.
Amen.
Intimate with him. You know, one time, and we all can get to that place. Every one of us, every child of God can develop and cultivate a place of intimacy.
Amen.
And I just encourage you to spend time in the secret place.
Yes.
One time, an old Scotchman was once asked the question, why do you love the Word of God so much? They just asked this old man, why do you love the Word of God so much? And he replied, it's because I know the one who wrote it.
Amen.
So very well.
Amen.
We need to rise up.
Amen.
We need to rise up that I can say, it's because I know him. So very well. We need to rise up to that level. Amen. So my focus this morning is going to be on prayer, but specifically intercessory prayer, the prayer of intercession. And for genuine intercession is having the Father's heart. It's going back to intimacy. It's praying God's burden. How will you know him apart from being intimate with him? How will you know the burden if we don't partner with him? And what an honor to partner with Father God. What an honor. Now, and it's a very unselfish prayer. Intercession is a very unselfish prayer. Now, turn to 1 Timothy chapter 2. 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 1. It says, therefore I exhort first, right there. That's telling us this is a priority with God. This is a priority. I exhort, first of all, that supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings, and all who are in authority. And then he tells us why. That we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. You know what I love about that scripture? No expiration date.
Amen.
So whatever is going on, he still wants us to lead a quiet and peaceable life. Well, yeah, we know we're getting closer and closer to the end times, but that's what he said, and there's no expiration date there.
Amen.
So whenever you look at a great move of God, you can always go back and know there was great intercession taking place, like the Welsh revival. In James chapter 5, verse 16, James 5, verse 16. I'm going to read this out of the Amplified. But it says, the earnest, heartfelt, continued prayer of a righteous man makes tremendous power available. It's dynamic in its results. It's got dynamic results. But it's a heartfelt prayer. It's not just something that you pray just from your spirit, but from the very fiber of your being. I mean, it comes from the very depth of your soul. That's an effectual, fervent, continued, heartfelt prayer. Now turn, if you would, in Acts chapter 1. I have lots of scriptures, but I think you're going to like this message today. In Acts chapter 1, verse 8, but you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. So for us to be effective in prayer, we cannot bypass the power of the Holy Spirit. We need this power in dealing with demonic warfare. And for such a time as this, boy, we need this power. And we have the power, we just have to use the power. In Romans 8:26, likewise the Spirit also helps us in our weaknesses, for we do not always know what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit himself makes intercession with us, and it's as we cooperate, as we work with the Holy Spirit. One thing I love about praying in the Spirit, I've just prayed a perfect prayer. Amen. To know that I can pray a perfect prayer. And one thing that I have found this to be so valuable is praying for my children or my grandchildren. Because you know how we have, well, I just want my child to do this or be this. You know how we are, you know. And so we're praying, now, Lord, let them see it. Just let them see my heart's desire. But God might have something better. And so when I pray in for my kids to, for any time, I always make sure that I pray it in the Spirit as well. Because I want to know, but Lord, if there's something better. Surely he's got something better. I mean, I'm not going to have something better than God. So I know he's got something better. So I just love when I pray in the Spirit. I just prayed a perfect prayer. Just little old me just prayed a perfect prayer. Because when you do that, you're entering into a higher place, a supernatural realm. There's no boundaries and all power. No boundaries and all power. Don't you love that? Wow. I want to tell you a story. Now, this isn't a true story, but it's a story that Reinhard Bonnke used to like to tell. And, of course, he always did a lot of ministry in Africa, and so this has to do with an elephant. So one time there's this big elephant, and he's about to cross a swinging bridge. And before he steps onto that swinging bridge, you ever seen a swinging bridge? I've been on those. And just before he crosses the swinging bridge, a little gnat flies on his ear and is sitting there. So every step this elephant takes, the bridge begins to swing and sway and squeak and swing. Every step is just swinging back and forth, back and forth. And finally, the elephant gets all the way across the bridge. And that little gnat whispers in his ear, and he says, "Mr. Elephant, together we sure made that bridge swing, didn't we?" Together with the Holy Ghost, we can make our nation swing. You can make your personal life swing. You got somebody right there going to help you swing your bridge. Amen. So we want to use him. Amen. So I love Matthew 18:18. "Assuredly I say to you, whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven. Whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven." Who does the binding and loosening first? We do. This is partnership. What we do, heaven backs us up. What we do, what we bind, he binds. What we loose, he loose. That is powerful partnership. Amen. Christ is the head, and we are the body. For Christ to fulfill his plan on this earth, he needs us. He's dependent upon us to carry out his plan. The head and the body, they have to work together. They have to work together. It's partnership. So let's look at what intercession is and what it is not. Intercession is It's a supportive ministry. It's not somebody who just lives in their prayer closet 24/7, never comes out. But no, it's a supportive ministry. You support the fivefold ministry gifts: apostle, prophet, pastor, teacher, evangelist. It's a supportive ministry. It's just like the palm of my hand. This palm supports five fingers. If I don't have a palm, these are helpless. I need the palm. The fivefold ministry gifts, they need the support of intercessory prayer. So it's not just going to a prayer meeting. It's a lifestyle partnering with Father God. How awesome, what an honor, privilege that is. So once again, it's praying God's burden. It's coming into intimacy with His desires. It's intimacy with His will. Now in Isaiah 53:12, this is intercession is first mentioned here. Therefore I will divide him a portion with the great, and he shall divide the spoil with the strong, because he poured out his soul unto death, and he was numbered with the transgressors, and he bore the sin of many, and made intercession for the transgressors. All have sinned and come into falling short of the glory of God. An intercessor is one who takes the place of somebody else. They trade places. Jesus took our place. Amen. That is what an intercessor does. Now, I've recently did a teaching on the armor of God. I'm going to be doing another. It's a 7-week, it's powerful, powerful teaching. It's going to be for 7 weeks. And also, if you want information about that, you can sign up on that sheet. But when you're studying and looking at the armor of God, it talks about the sword of the Spirit. And the sword of this, all the parts of the armor are defensive weapons, except the sword of the Spirit, which is an offensive weapon. Now hold that thought. The sword of the Spirit, the Word of God, is an offensive weapon. Now let's look at the structure of intercessory prayer. Intercession has its foundation like that of a two-edged sword. Intercession is a two-edged sword. So it not only fights offensive, it fights defensive. So it has two sides to it. Both sides are equally sharp. Both sides are equally sharp. They both cut, but they go in opposite directions. But we need both sides working together because each one has its own purpose. But they have to work together, even though they're going in opposite directions. And both must be inspired by the Holy Spirit. Totally inspired by the Holy Spirit. So the two-edged sword, let's look at both sides. The first side consists of warfare and travail. So one side is warfare. Warfare is very, very forceful. Now, in warfare, you're facing Satan in the name of Jesus on behalf of a person or a nation. And I just think at such a time as this, I really think so much about America. So you're facing Satan in the name of Jesus on behalf of a person or a nation. So warfare is to be very violent against demonic plots, demonic activity. You're coming against the spirit of darkness, the spirit of blindness. Warfare is like a very forceful collision against the spirit of darkness. It's, for example, I know we just had a big race in Charlotte. I forget what they call that. And it's kind of like the Indy 500, but the Charlotte, whatever that racing was. But these cars go very fast, over 200 miles an hour. But if they were to have a head-on collision, that would be a very forceful impact. That's how warfare is. It's a very strong impact against that spirit of darkness. Amen. Against those evil demonic plots. And boy, we have seen them like that, have we not? Or you could also say it's like driving a sledgehammer. Now I have in my kitchen, I have a little kitchen hammer, but it does not have the power that a sledgehammer has. But see, in warfare, it's more like a sledgehammer. I mean, it has some force behind it. So, and we need to use warfare to take back what the devil has stolen. And we can take it back. In Matthew 11:12, from the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven suffers violence, and the violent take it by force. Right now, there is so much demonic activity against the church, against the nation. It's all spiritual warfare. Amen. We, the church, are to be violent against this demonic activity. No, we need to grow up.
Amen.
It's time that we grow up spiritually and take our part. Because, you know, people think, you know, it's just not about you and your situation. Because if you don't pray for your nation, that affects you. Because everything that happens there is going to affect you here. So don't just focus on this and forget the main thing. So we've got to focus on the main thing. Amen? So we've got to, you know, get your eyes off yourself, because that will automatically take care of itself when we hit the head of the problem. Amen? So we've got to, we have to take back what the devil stole. We have to rise up with Holy Ghost fire. Look at what the devil has stolen over the last several years. Well, one thing, he's destroyed human life through COVID. Now, we can't get those lives back, but we can certainly come to a stop with this stuff.
Yeah.
Amen. And he's stolen jobs, shut down businesses, brought havoc to our economy. He has attacked our freedom to worship, attacking our Constitution and our children's education and our children. But we have the power to take it back. I want to share a story. I shared this with pastors yesterday. When I was preaching in the Czech Republic, I asked the pastor if he was ever afraid of having an underground church. And he said, no, I wasn't afraid, but it wasn't because I was so brave. It was because it was normal.
Yeah.
Having an underground church for them was normal.
Yeah.
That's what they want to do here. He said, it was normal, so I wasn't so brave. We had to hide. Every time we wanted to get together, we had to go to another location and hide. He said, but as prayer got stronger in the church, he said, communism started getting weaker. And then it finally got to the point that he was able to cross the border. From the east, he got to go into the west. When he crossed into the west, I almost cried when he told me the next thing. He said, the first thing I saw when I crossed the border, I saw freedom.
Amen.
Amen.
Don't take it for granted. He said, I saw freedom. And I knew that's what normal is supposed to be. And then I saw color. See, communism took away color. You don't have a pretty green blouse, red shirt, yellow dress. It's black, white, or gray.
Yeah.
Which one do you want?
That's right.
He said, I saw color. And then he went to a minister's meeting, and he took some Christian literature and he brought it back home with him. And as he's crossing the border, the Gestapo, they found some of the literature. And so they started spying on him. He said, but as prayer got stronger in the church, communism was getting weaker. Amen. And then, you can look this up on the internet, it was approximately 6.5 to 7 weeks after the Berlin Wall went down. They had in the Czech Republic, at that time it was Czechoslovakia, they had what they called the Velvet Revolution, because communism stopped in one day. One day. They called it Velvet. Because there was no violence. It's right after the Berlin Wall went down. Do you realize in one day something could change here? If it can happen over there, it can happen here. And it needs to happen. I mean, can you imagine 4 o'clock tonight? Woo, everything just stopped? It could. You don't. I mean, the way they're stopping and going anyway. But we need to have it stopped righteously. But if it can happen one day there, I want you to get a revelation. In one day, things can turn around here. But we have to fight. So that's part of our two-edged sword. Now remember, warfare is very, very violent. You're facing Satan. Now in travail, travail is more peaceful. It's gentle. In travail, you're facing our Heavenly Father on behalf of a person or a nation. Now travail is considered gentle, or it, sometimes they call it like having birth pains. When you think, well, birth pains, that's not so gentle. But what it is, it's the effort of what comes forth from birth pains. You are birthing in a new creature in Christ, according to 2 Corinthians 5:17. And you have a new baby in Christ. That's precious. That's sweet. That's gentle. Someone was birthed into the kingdom. It's to make smooth, or to come between the light and the dark. It's to reconcile the lost back to Christ. So now let's look at the expression. How is warfare and travail expressed? First of all, in warfare, sometimes when you're praying and you're facing the devil, you just want to shout. You ever just want to shout? It just feels good, but doesn't do any good. It feels good, but doesn't do any good. You don't care if you shout till the cows come home. Our power and our victory is not determined by the volume of our shout. When I was on my deathbed with malaria, having only hours left to live, where the doctor said in the morning, he said, this afternoon is too late. That's hours. I'm not talking about 72 hours. I'm talking about 5 hours. He said, Marilyn, you've only got a few hours left. And I thought to myself, no, God didn't heal me of cancer so I could die of malaria. Now, if you've ever been around somebody on their deathbed, and probably some of you have, you find that that person is weak and frail, and there's not really any volume, is there? You have to kind of, what did you say? There's no volume left. That's where I was. But I thought, I thought, no, the devil is going to see me sitting up in this bed. And it took all the energy I could muster up. But you know what? When you take one step forward, heaven backs you up. And I took a hold of the support bars and I began to pull. And I could just tell the Holy Ghost is just helping me. Let's do it, Marilyn. We can do it. We can do it. We can do it. And I sat up. And with a whisper, very faint, hardly a whisper, I took authority over that spirit of malaria. No volume. A frail whisper, in the name of Jesus, spirit of malaria, I break your hold. And at that moment, it was exactly like the woman with the issue of blood. It said she felt in her body, she was healed of that plague. Instantly, I felt all that spirit of malaria just came right out of me. I thought, ha! I just felt my body. You know, I mean, it's just, it can happen. But it's not with the shout. It's with, it's what's in here. It's the power in here, not the volume of the shout. Amen. But feels good, but it doesn't do any good. Sometimes you just want to shout at the devil, don't you? Amen. Well, see, we battle spirit to spirit. It's not volume to spirit. Our spirit against the demonic spirit. It's not my volume against the demonic spirit. It's my spirit. Power. Against this. Zechariah 4:6 says, this is the word of the Lord to Zerubbabel, not by might nor by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord. So it's not about our natural force or strength. It's by the power of the spirit of the Holy Ghost. Amen? Amen. Amen. So now let's look at the expression of travail. Now again, travail, you're facing our Heavenly Father. Now sometimes travail can be expressed through weeping. Crying. Sometimes it can be a deep groaning. It can be a sigh. It's very intense, but it's very real. It's that earnest, heartfelt groaning, pleading. You're pleading, and pleading is not begging. You're pleading for divine intervention. Divine intervention. It's very intense. Again, it's with the very fiber of your being. And so, you know, sometimes people say, well, why do I cry? Well, that's the Lord crying through you. It's the Lord crying through you. I like to look at it like koinonia. You know, sometimes you might have a prayer request in the church to pray for someone's child. And well, we all want to pray for somebody's child. But if that child was your child,
yeah. Yes, that's it.
A little bit deeper.
Yes,
it's true. But koinonia is when you pray for that child as though it was your own child.
Yes.
That you pray for somebody else's need as though it was your own. That is genuine intercession, that you are praying from the very fiber of your being for a life. That's koinonia. That is genuine intercession. When you're praying for somebody else's need as though it was your own. So if you are in that place, and it can be a man or a woman that weeps, you never resist the weeping. Because sometimes people, oh, I've stopped crying, I have to stop. No, no. Don't resist it, because that, I mean, it can be loud or it can be quiet, but that is the Lord weeping through you. Because remember, you're in partnership. This is partnership. What breaks his heart breaks your heart. So you can weep, but it must not be in the flesh.
Amen.
I've been in so many prayer meetings, and somebody's just getting carried away in the flesh. Holy Spirit never distracts.
Yes.
Never. And I was in a prayer meeting. Oh, I'm sorry, it wasn't a prayer meeting. I was preaching over in Hong Kong, and then there was another very prominent, you would know if I told you his name, very prominent minister that was coming after me the following week. And so I, of course, stayed for the meeting. And when he was preaching, some lady just started getting in the flesh, and she's just laughing and carrying away. This pastor handled that so perfectly. I thought, oh, that was perfect the way he did it. So you've got everybody, you know, he's preaching. It wasn't a prayer meeting, he's preaching. But this person's all just laughing and just carrying on. And he said, oh, and I'm just going to summarize something. He said, oh, this is so wonderful. Our sister is just really being touched by God this morning. And I certainly wouldn't want to interrupt anything. Maybe one of the ushers might come and help her to a private room so that she can have this time with the Lord. And because I wouldn't want to interrupt anything that God is wanting to do through her. Praise God, the ushers got up and helped her out. But if he had been rude, everybody would have thought, well, who does he think he is when she's in the Holy Ghost? You know, but see, sometimes we have to know how to handle these situations. But it'll never be in the flesh if it's of God. Because the Holy Spirit will never interrupt or distract. So, but we don't ever want to resist the weeping or whatever emotion it is, because if it's a Holy Ghost emotion, you don't want to resist it. In 1 John 2:20 it says, but you have an anointing from the Holy One and you know all things. So if you resist it, you're going to resist the leading, the power, the effectiveness of that prayer. So that anointing within you must come forth. You have to release it. Don't try to resist it. Release it, yield to it, because there's power there. There's you understand what I'm saying? You just have to give place to it, because what breaks his heart is breaking your heart. Now, I want to share something in 1 John 5:19, and I'm just going to read this to you out of the Phillips translation. So we're talking about what's going on here in the world. In 1 John 5:19, it says, we know that we ourselves are children of God. We also know that the world around us is under the power of the evil one.
Amen.
Do we not know that?
Yes.
We know that. The Bible says you know that.
Yes.
So the ungodly are doing what they are controlled to do, because they have opened themselves up to the devil, to satanic warfare. To me, they're doing what they think is the right thing to do.
Yes.
To kill babies, defund the police,
right,
To me, that is the highest form of deception I have ever heard of. Because they are totally deceived. To be deceived means to be told a lie and not know it. And who is the author of lies? The devil. They've opened themselves up to the devil, who is lying to them. And then it says in John 8:44, you are of the father, your father, the devil, and you desire, it says you desire what your father wants you to do. You want to do what your father wants you to do. Total deception at its highest form, to kill babies, children. Oh. The devil comes to steal, kill, and destroy, and he does it 24/7 through deception. 24/7 through deception. And anything under this category, it's our mandate to stop it. It's our mandate. We have to stop it. This is our job in warfare and travail. God has given us authority, and God has given us the authority to carry out his will on the earth, and then he backs us up because it's partnership. We are not out here doing this by ourselves. The Holy Ghost is here to help us and to back us up. Amen. And you know, it's not about convenience. If you're partnering with somebody and you're partnering with God who never sleeps nor slumbers, if he wants to wake you up at 3 a.m. and you're in partnership, wake up, Charlie, because it could be to save a life. In 1 Corinthians 3:9, it says, for we are God's fellow workers. So it's not about convenience. And you can be interceding day or night. It doesn't matter. But both heaven and hell are aware of your presence. And you're never interceding alone. He's got your back. He's got your back. So we don't ever want to resist then. And if he wakes you up at 3 a.m. and it's under the Holy Ghost, you'll wake up at 8 o'clock fresh. Save a soul, wake up fresh. Keep it light and simple. It is simple when you're flowing with the Holy Ghost. Amen. So we've looked at the structure of intercession. We've looked at the expression of intercession. Now we're going to look at the power, the working of intercession. I love this part. Turn to Ezekiel 22:30. Ezekiel 22:30. So I sought for a man among them who would make a wall. One translation says, to restore a wall, and stand in the gap before me on behalf of the land, that I should not destroy the land, but I found no one. Yeah. In the New Living Translations, I looked in vain for anybody, just anybody, who would build again the wall of righteousness that guards the land, who could stand in the gap and defend the land from my just acts, but found nobody.
Yes, ma'am.
Let this not be said on our watch. Let this not be said on our watch. For such a time as this, we are here to fight and to protect our land, our nation, our children, and our grandchildren. Is this helping you today?
Yes.
Amen. Because I know you've been doing a lot of studying on prayer. We can stand in the gap for God's plans to be fulfilled in the earth, because thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Because heaven is backing us up. It's partnership. We can't lose. Amen.
Amen?
We can't lose. So listen to this. Our responsibility of intercession is, number one, to stand in the gap. Number two, to build a wall. That's our responsibility. Our power is different. Our power is to guard the land so it will not be destroyed. Because God must judge sin.
Yes.
So we have to stand in the gap. That's why he calls us to intercede, because he does not want to destroy us.
Amen.
That's right. Amen. So, what is the wall of righteousness? This wall consists of an inner wall and an outer wall. If you were to stand outside of your house, you'll see the outer wall of your house. You stand outside, that's the whole outer wall of your house. If you go in the house, there's a lot of inner walls. the wall between the kitchen and the dining room. There's another wall between the dining room and the living room, a hall wall between the bathroom, and there's walls between each bedroom. Those are inner walls. So we have one big outer wall, and we've got an inner wall. That is the wall of righteousness. So in travail, the wall of righteousness, once again, we're facing our Heavenly Father on behalf of our nation or a family. That's travail. And I'm not ready quite yet for that slide. So first of all, in 1 Timothy chapter 2, we're called to pray for those who are in authority. One thing, and I have a list of things, but you know, the Holy Spirit will lead you. But we need to pray for an increase of their discernment, and that they will recognize evil plots. They'll recognize ungodly counsel. We want to pray for wisdom, for physical and mental strength, for divine protection and health, for overflowing favor, favor with people in positions of authority and those who make decisions. Amen. Angelic assistance, and for God to open doors where they need to be, that no man can shut the door, and that they have a voice to speak. Those are our godly leaders. We also need to pray for the ungodly leaders. The prayers of the Apostle Paul in Ephesians 1, that they would receive the spirit of wisdom and revelation of the knowledge of God, that the eyes of their understanding would be enlightened to the hope of God's calling, of His divine plan and purpose. You know, I'm not going to go into this, but there's different levels of wisdom. The lowest level of wisdom is common sense. We got people that aren't even operating in the lowest. That's the lowest level. A child is born with some common sense. There's a degree of common sense. I mean, you don't have to tell them that the chair they can sit on that. They just crawl up there and they sit. Common sense, they know that. That's not good, is it? Moving right along. So you want to pray for spiritual enlightenment for the ungodly leaders. I like what it says in 2 Thessalonians 3, 2. If they're not going to bow, that we would be delivered from unreasonable and wicked men, for all do not have faith. See, we are making a great appeal for righteousness to reign and to remain our freedom in our nation. See, the ungodly can be removed if they're not going to bow, but we want to pray for mercy for their soul, that they will receive spiritual enlightenment. But if they don't, then they have to be moved. That's, you know. Now, that's the inner wall. The outer wall is warfare. Again, we're facing Satan on behalf of the nation. This is where we're pushing back those demonic activity, pushing back those negative plots, pushing back the lies of the media that is causing so much deception, pushing back evil plots. That's what, and we need both warfare and travail working together. Remember, it's a two-edged sword, both cutting equally on both sides. They both have a purpose. But as warfare is in operation, travail can be much more effective. You have to have them both working together. So if we can have that illustration now, I want to just have you look at something. Now, I just like to focus on America just because of where we are right now. So I have a picture of the American flag. So we need to intercede. So the hands right around the flag, their hands are lifted up towards heaven. They are facing Father God on behalf of the nation. That's the inner wall. There's another wall. That's the outer wall. The outer wall is facing Satan. And see their hands? What are they doing? Pushing back, pushing back, pushing back, pushing back. Now, I'm going to ask for a couple of guys to help me do another illustration. Basically the same thing. But Jim, can I have you come up here? And first of all, have Jim come up here. He's going to be Jim. That's what he's going to be. He's just going to be Jim. Oh, no, that's okay. So we're just going to imagine, instead of being a nation, we're going to pray for an individual. So this individual, only it's not going to be a nice person. I'm, okay. Yeah, just, but we're just pretending. You know, yesterday you got to be God, and Friday night,
yeah, yeah, yeah.
One day God, one day, because he was an illustration at the of the church.
Short,
well, we'll build you back up.
Okay.
But, so I want three people, any three people come up here, any three. So now we're just going to say this poor soul, not Jim, but this poor soul, we're just going to say that he has, he's addicted to drugs or he's an alcoholic and he really needs some intercession. So I want the three of you to stand around him, hold hands, all three of you hold hands. Now this is an inner wall. They're facing Father God on behalf of this person. The person wants help. He wants to be set free. But it's a struggle. But they are praying that the eyes of his understanding would be enlightened. Now I want some more people to come up here. I need another wall. I need an outer wall. Now the outer wall, I want you to have your back facing the inner wall. We need to move up a little bit closer. Now I want you all to hold hands, but your back is facing... You hold hands. Yeah, come on up here, Clint. Okay. This is the outer wall. And they are facing Satan. Because this lost soul, he wants to be free. But there are so many distractions from negative friends. Say, oh, come on, you can go out to the... We'll get one more shot or one more drink. So he's got all these distractions because he's heavily addicted on whatever it is. So they have got to push back all these distractions, all these temptations. They have got to push back all the attacks that the devil is trying to convince that person. Just forget about God. Just come on, you can have one more drink, one more shot. You understand what I'm saying? So they have to push back, push back. Push back those distractions. And the more distractions that are pushed back and stopped, then as the inner wall is interceding, there's less distraction. And they can be more effective in the inner wall as the outer wall is pushing back all those negative influences and all those attacks. Does that make sense?
Yes. Yes. Yes.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you so much. Because it really, really, really matters that we have both working together. And yeah. One day you might be called to intercede. One day you might be called to do travail. I mean, one day you're doing warfare. The next day it could be warfare or travail. You know, you just have to be open. But now we could not control him. But as we pray... The Holy Spirit, the more effective we pray, the inner wall and the outer wall, the more effective the Holy Spirit can be.
Yes.
Amen.
And showing him the truth that help him make the right decision. Because we can't control the decision that he will make.
Yeah.
Amen. But we partner with the Holy Spirit. So God's plans were established before the foundation of time. We would all agree on that. Amen.
Amen.
Are you being helped today?
Yes.
Are you?
Yeah. Yeah.
God's plans for America were established on godly principles.
Amen.
Amen. So when God did all this, he set up characters within the plan. Now, in some nations, the characters are called kings or queens or princes. In America, our characters are called presidents, vice presidents, governors, senators, mayors. These are characters. And then God chooses players. Who's going to play a particular character role? I believe that God chose Abraham Lincoln,
yes, that's right.
Thomas Jefferson, to play the role that they played.
Yes.
Now, today, we have some wrong players into the character role that God has created. So it's our assignment to make sure the wrong player gets out, the right player gets in. Let's just say, for example, you're going to have a Christmas pageant. And it's going to be, well, who are the players? Well, we're going to have Mary, and Joseph, baby Jesus, the innkeeper, the shepherds, the wise men. These are the characters. So now we've announced to the whole church, we're going to have a Christmas pageant. These are the characters. So now we need, who's going to be Mary? Grandma raises her hand. Grandma. No. Maybe Grandpa. Well, Grandpa, I could be Grandpa. Grandpa, you could be the wise man. Mm-hmm. Maybe Grandma could be the angel. The teenage boy, not baby Jesus, no. See, you can have wrong players.
Yes.
Prayer puts the right player in their God-assigned position.
Amen.
And if we ever needed that, we need it now.
Amen.
It's light and easy, isn't it? I mean, it's just not complicated. To me, it's not complicated. It's not a complicated thing. So we have to do this. Now, so once again, that's our mandate. Our mandate in warfare and travail, that we can intercede and get the right people in the right position. I like what it says in Psalm 75, 6 and 7. For exaltation comes neither from the east, nor the west, nor from the south, but God is the judge. He puts down one and he exalts another. And that's our purpose as we're praying for the right people to get into their position. You know, the gates of hell will not prevail against the church.
Amen.
So, and no weapon formed against America will prosper. So I just want to share a couple more things in closing. So I want to share with you how I pray and intercede for my family. Because sometimes people need to intercede for their family. So, first of all, I always pray for America. And I have photographs. I have photos of all my family. I have a picture of the American flag. So when I pray, I lay hands.
Amen.
Point of contact.
Yes.
Amen.
I lay hands on my family. I pray for each one individually. They've anointed with oil. Sometimes I have to change pictures because they've got so much oil. But one of the prayers I pray, but this will help you. You know, when you can see their picture.
Amen.
Because there's no distance in the realm of the spirit. So I always pray the prayer in Ephesians chapter 1. That God would grant them the spirit of wisdom and revelation of the knowledge of him. But then I personalize it. Brother Hagin always told us you personalize it. So that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, he may give unto Uncle Charlie. Put Uncle Charlie right in there. The spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. That the eyes of Uncle Charlie, make it personal. Or Aunt Susie, you want to make it personal. That Uncle Charlie's eyes will be enlightened. I mean, it matters when you personalize that. And then I also pray Psalms 23:3. You know, it talks about he restores our soul. Your soul is your mind, your emotions, your freedom of choice. So if he's going to restore the soul, what's he going to do? Make wrong thinking right thinking. So when I pray for some of my family members, and I'll name them, Lord, I pray that you bring right thinking, that you restore Uncle Charlie, restore his thinking. Because that's the problem, wrong thinking. So, Lord, I pray that his soul is restored to right thinking. And then I pray James chapter 5, verse 14 and 15. If any among you sick, let him call for the elders of the church. Now, they're not going to call for you to pray.
Right.
The last thing they probably want. But we can pray through intercession.
Amen.
So it says, and anoint them with oil. Yep, that's what I do. You can smell my oil, right? I do. I anoint each one of them.
Amen.
I anoint America. That's how I do it. And then I just pray that I anoint them with oil and the prayer of faith will save the sick and restore them to right thinking.
Yes,
that's how I pray that. And then, you know, of course, we have the promise that if we believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, we will be saved in our house. Stand on that. But then I also, in Matthew 9:38, this is my last scripture, Matthew 9:38, that we pray, therefore, that the Lord of the harvest, that he would send forth laborers into the harvest. Now, let me just share this. The Lord taught me something years ago that changed my prayer life forever. Because I started praying for my father's salvation when I was 3.5 years old. He didn't get saved until I was almost 50 years old. And the Lord told me one day, he said, and it was September, and he said, your father is not going to live to see Christmas. I said, Lord, he can't die till he gets saved. And of course, then I learned to pray more effective prayers as time goes on. I said, Lord, you've told me to pray for the laborers, that the laborers would go forth. Where are the laborers? And God said to me, he said, Marilyn, the laborers are not always obedient. And I thought, aha! Immediately I said, well, then I'll do it. I mean, Holy Ghost anger rose up on the inside of me. I said, well, then I'll do it.
Amen.
And he opened the door
Amen.
For my father to receive from me.
Amen.
But, you know, how many times has God asked you to do something? You think, oh, I don't want to say something to that person. They'll think I'm crazy. Or, mm-hmm. you know, so if you don't do it, you just became a disobedient laborer.
Yeah. Amen.
How many times have we been a disobedient laborer? We've all done it.
Yep.
We've all
yes,
done
ma'am.
It. But I don't want to be that way anymore.
Amen.
And so when I pray for somebody, I pray, Lord, let there be an obedient laborer
yes.
to cross their path.
Amen.
Because it matters. If they're not going to obey, what good is it for me praying for them? So in closing, I want to just read to you out of Numbers 16. I'm sorry, I said that was the last one. This is the last one. And Numbers 16, beginning in verse 46. I don't know if I even gave that to them. And Moses said unto Aaron, take a censer and put fire therein from off the altar and put on incense. And then he says, go quickly unto the congregation and make an atonement for them. For there is wrath gone out from the Lord. The plague has begun. So he is saying, go quickly. And then, so what does Aaron do? Aaron took as Moses commanded, and he ran. That's quickly. He's obedient. He is running into the middle of the congregation, and behold, yes, the plague had begun among the people, and he did as Moses told him to do. He put on the incense, and he made an atonement for the people, and stood between the dead and the living, between the light and the darkness. We can stand between the light and the darkness, and the plague stayed. It stopped. And it can all stop here in one day.
Amen.
It can.
Amen.
We have that possibility that that can happen. So, Father, we thank you. We thank you for your word. We thank you, Lord, that your word never returns void. I pray that this message today bears much fruit, that the fruit will remain, that it takes deep root into each and every heart, never again to be the same. So we praise you. We thank you for your holy written word. Lord, we choose to be obedient to your word, to cooperate with you, to partner with you, to pray your burden. Lord, what breaks your heart, we want that to break our heart. We want to partner with you. We want to come into that secret place and have you reveal to us exactly what you want us to do, what you want us to say, where you want us to go, how long you want us to stay. We want to submit to you in every arena of our life. We want to partner with you. So, Lord, we give you all the praise and all the glory in Jesus' precious name. And everyone said, Amen. Amen.